When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores desperate to get food.
Regulations.
Some regulations.
Regulation.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits here on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I am kind of happy today because my production level, in case you didn't know, as of this moment, is better than Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, or The Night Show with Jimmy Fallon. It's better than Conan, it's better than Jimmy Kimmel, and better than Colbert. My production quality right now, in my house, is better than Sesame Street. And it's true. It is better than Sesame Street, and just to prove it, here is a photo of a show that I saw, which I don't recommend you watch at all. By the way, carbonated water is not the best thing to drink when you're doing a show because you burp so much with carbonated water. So I'm just going to put that aside so I don't do that anymore. So anyways, as I was saying, this, by the way, as you guys can see, is a screenshot I took of Sesame Street. This was actually not Sesame Street. It was a CNN special. I don't remember the name of it. Something about CNN presents COVID-19 for kids with Sesame Street. Something along those lines. And anyway, I want you to take notice of this. This is Elmo and Big Bird with CNN correspondents. Now, as you can see, the CNN correspondents look pretty good. But here's Elmo and Big Bird, and they're just on a green screen with this awful camera quality, which is probably an iPhone. Just awful. I mean, you can see with Elmo a lot better. And if you look around the edges of Big Bird, you can tell it's messed up too. But Elmo, for sure, must be using Cox internet, because his signal was like pixelated, it was mutated at times, and I was like, this is insane. You gotta think about this now. These are organizations with multi-million-dollar budgets. Now, Sesame Street specifically has a massive multi-million-dollar budget from PBS, from the government. And yet, they're not capable of producing content that's any good. Which is interesting, though, because if you see the president's press briefings or anything the president's doing right now, CNN included, all the networks have high-end tech. They have high. I mean, they're not recording the president's briefings with iPhones. They're not doing it at all. But suddenly, when it comes to late night shows like Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon, everybody has this. Everybody has this sort of like Zoom call feature. Now, I noticed everybody was doing it, but it didn't really bug me until me and my wife watched American Idol the other day. And I want to show you this. I think this is really important. Let's see. So this is Katy Perry. And they're doing this idol from home, right? Because they usually have the giant studio audience. And they have everybody. It's a big, massive, multi-million dollar production every episode, guaranteed. They're, you know, radio live from Radio City, live from LA or whatever, in this big theater. There's thousands of people. They sing, and then the judges, well, they used to be really ruthless, but I don't know if you've seen American Idol lately. Everybody has a sob story. and nobody does a bad job anymore. It's 2020. We can't have Simon Cowell telling people that they can't sing. You can't do it anymore. It's just not cool. I mean, you can't offend. You just can't offend people like you used to be able to. So anyway, this is a screen grab I got from American Idol, and you can't see it in this photo. But there, and I know if you're listening to the podcast of this, you're confused beyond all get out. And this episode's probably going to require your imagination. But if you're watching on the live stream or on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/CrimeKnightsMedia, you will see that Katy Perry is dressed as a hand sanitizer bottle. And it says American Idol Instant Music Sanitizer with moisturizers and vitamin E. It is absolutely awful. And she wore this costume and I was like, slight chuckle, but she wore this the entire episode. Now, this isn't about Katy Perry or whether or not she's a secret Satanist or anything like that. That's not what this is about. What this is about is their production setup. So you have this multi-million dollar show. They spend millions on production, on jibs, on cameras, on the venue, on packing out the audience, on the hosts. And then during this COVID-19 thing, they think, you know what we'll do? We'll use iPhones, and we'll use our iPhones to produce a show. And you have to ask a question. Why are they doing this? Now, if anybody out there watches YouTube content, specifically like mine, you can see I have a nice depth of field. I'm not doing this with my iPhone. There's a nice, slightly blurry background. I have color LED lights. It's not that hard of a setup. I've been in video production for a long time, and it's taking me, you know, a few years to figure out really how to do even this show. But I've learned from experience, and I figured it out. But then you come here, multi-million dollar production, and here they are with iPhones. Now, there's two ways we can go about this, but I want to just show some more screenshots just to further emphasize this, the point I'm going to make. This is Ryan Seacrest. Now, Ryan Seacrest, as you can see, he gets it. He's not using an iPhone. He has a nice camera setup. Lighting is really balanced. He's not playing around. Not playing around at all. And then, you know, there's another one of Katy Perry thought this would be... Somebody told Katy Perry this would be a good idea, and she agreed. And she was this way through the whole entire show. Nothing really substantial there, but I wanted to point that out. So, here's a shot of one of the contestants. As you can see, there's this nice Pelican case. She's got everything mounted up. There's wiring. There is, some basic lighting. They said everybody got a ring light. They got the same ring light. But from this shot, you could tell they didn't exactly get the same ring light. There's some soft boxes, lights. Look at this. I want you to look at the level of detail here that's set out on this photo. I actually just noticed this. If you can see, there's blue tape marks. There's places for her to stand. There's gaffer's tape. So this is important. Someone who does video production for a living would do this. They would set these out. These are probably I'm assuming these are boundary markers as to where she can and cannot stand. Or where she walks out of frame. She might have done that on her own, but it's just not something normally people do when they're setting this stuff up. So the question is why? So there's I have two theories here. The first one is the one I'm going to lean to more. The second one is an optimistic post-mill view that I'm not exactly buying, but I'll put it out there. But the first point I want to say, I think this is really important, is that I think the networks are conning us. I think they're virtue signaling, and they're trying to say, look, guys, we're in this together, and we are here with you, right? We've seen that message pop up. We're here with you. We're with you. We're here together. Just locked down. Look, we can't even do our fancy studio setups. Well, we've resorted to having to use iPhones. We've resorted to having to be common people just like you, locked away in our homes. Now, the thing is, I really believe that's what's happening here, because you see it on all these massive scale. You see it like ESPN is doing these things, and they have massive production budgets for ESPN and some of the best studios in the business. And then yet, when it comes to this sort of lockdown, it seems as if everybody has just resorted to just using their iPhones. When any YouTuber, whether it's me or someone who's way more mainstream than me, these guys are using they're using a single camera setup like me. They're producing quality content. They got good audio. They have a wireless mic, or they have like one of these Shure mics. Like YouTubers can make their own content, no problem. So when you see a setup like this, and there's tape marked out, and there's box lights, and I mean, like, they even got, like, just, I guess, maybe just to even add to the feel, they got these Home Depot lights. Maybe the contestants did this themselves. I'd be interested to see. But the sound is also really good and mixed really well. So there's a part of me that thinks, at the very least, I believe, that they sent somebody to their homes. They paid money. They hired a camera guy to go to their homes, make sure all the audio is set up correctly, make sure everything looks good, at least some decent scale. They didn't leave it all to the talent to set up their own video production gear. It'd be awesome if they did, because I think it would show their true star powers would be the ones that could set it up on their own. And you know, like, if you're investing in an artist, you would want them, not only are they a good voice, but they can run their own YouTube channel, they can run their own social. That, like, personally, I think it would be a good idea if that was part of the test. But that isn't exactly what happened there, I don't think. I think they sent somebody to each of the people's houses and they set this stuff up. And the question I have to ask in regards to this is why didn't they just bring some basic cameras and connect one of the cameras via HDMI to a gaming setup like a gamer and just have a nice setup? It's not that hard. There's Blackmagic device can give you four cameras. You set up four GH4s, GH5s, connect them to the, it's not much more than a Google search. And this is why I think that they're playing a con game. I think they're playing a con game. And I want us to just think about that in terms of how the media is being used to manipulate us, to make us feel like we're all in this together, when we're not. I am not going to use an iPhone and a Zoom call to produce content for people. When just because we're on lockdown, when after all this time, that's what I've been doing. I'm not going to step down. But for some reason, there was this universal consent that all these shows are going to be done with not even a professional microphone. Now, I did see a clip from Stephen Colbert, and it looks like Stephen Colbert upped his game. Jimmy Fallon has not. Conan, but one of the interesting things I think about this is that it really shows of our celebrities, like, who's really genuinely talented and who actually needs a lot of help. And so if you compare, like, Jimmy Fallon's show, which has been awful, like, just completely useless over the past few weeks, when you compare that to, say, Conan, who actually says, look, if we're going to do the Zoom call thing, we're going to make a massive joke out of it. And then the plot, their situation of having to use Zoom when, you know, Conan doesn't have to use Zoom, but he's chosen to use this mode, and he's using the Zoom as the joke. Like, he did a bit the other day I thought was brilliant, where he jumped on a small business's company Zoom call and just completely surprised him. And that was a great bit. Like, that's a bit that even when they're back on a soundstage, they could still always go to that. It was genius. And so, like, I think you are seeing who's really talented, and then you're seeing people like Katy Perry decide that they need to dress up in these sort of costumes to try to be more entertaining, and it actually just comes across as absolutely cringy and a disaster. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it. I think YouTube creators, content creators in general, have caught on that they're scamming us. And I'm not the only one that has made a video talking about this that makes content. There's other creators out there that's like, what in the world is going on? Like, what is going on? But that does raise another question. I had a discussion with a Chocolate Knox today, who's part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network, and you can join the Fight Laugh. By the way, you can join the Fight Laugh Feast Network, which, by the way, is making content better than most anybody right now, because they have decided not to use iPhones and Zoom calls to make their content. They're still making content in the exact same way. So, just for clarification, if you join the Fight Laugh Feast Network, become a member, you can help support making great content that is better than anything you see on the mainstream networks today. Which brings me to the second point. There is the possibility that these people who are they're removed from what they know. They're removed from their studio. There is the possibility that they really have no idea what they're doing. I remember when there used to be this term I would use, like, studio legs. And it's like, when you're in a studio, you have everything provided for you. You can set everything up. Everything is plug and play. You tend to kind of get lazy because what you have works. But when you're forced to be out of a studio, it forces you to work within the circumstances. Oh no, it's raining. How are we going to get the shot we need when it's raining? Or how are we going to do this or whatever? So it challenges you a lot, a whole lot. So there is the possibility here that these people who are producing these multi-million dollar shows have no idea how to step back down and create even basic YouTube content. It could be that these people are really, genuinely out of their comfort zone. Personally, I don't believe that. I believe far more of it is about sending a message that, look, guys, we have to use iPhones. I think a lot of it is that. And one of the reasons I'll say that is David was bringing up how ESPN stuff was just garbage. And it could be because they were out of their studio. But I remember, after I got done talking to him, I remember watching a video on YouTube a while back ago, and it was talking about how ESPN, like, they hacked an Xbox so they could connect it to their iPad, and then they were using Madden to do play-by-plays through, like, Madden, what, 2019 or whatever, or 18, however long ago it was. They hacked an Xbox, and then they were able to use the Xbox, and then through an app they designed, they were able to, like, draw on the iPad, like, all these sort of, like, the whole article was really interesting, or the video, I don't remember which one it was. It was really interesting because it was showing how they were just, like, doing these multi-million dollar productions just by hacking like Xboxes and stuff. So I'm not gonna say it's entirely people who don't know what's going on. I'm not gonna say that, but I'm gonna tell you, it could be. And let me just speak very clearly here. If there's the slightest opportunity, like there is now, that these major networks have no idea what they're doing, they don't know how to make I mean, it's clear that they don't know how to make good content using the means that they have. If you've watched any of it lately, American Idol was trash. Like, it was just, it was awful. Like, I'm amazed that ABC didn't just say, you know what, guys, let's just wait till this stuff is over. And we'll just hold off and like show reruns or something. But it's just amazing to me. The awfulness of American Idol last week and all these other things that we're doing. Jimmy Fallon is terrible. Look, there's good moments on the Tonight Show. I love the fact that Jimmy Fallon is incorporating his kids and his family as part of the show. I think that's absolutely fantastic, and we should be doing that. I think that's one of the advantages Christians have in making media a lot better than most. So Reformed Yinzer says we are in socialism together. I think that's the message they're sending. Like, we are in this together. Don't leave your, we're not leaving our homes. So you don't need to leave your home. That I think is the main message. But again, there's the opportunity here that they really have no idea what they're doing. They are forced to create contents like us peon, they're forced to create content like us peons have to make content, and they're just not good at it. And that to me is exciting. If that's even true, that's exciting. That is something worth looking into more. Do they really not know how to do this? Do they really not know how to produce quality content from your own room, like me? I mean, look, come on. I never thought I would have a production that rivals Jimmy Fallon in my own room. But here we are. And so that's what I think, man. I think it's interesting to consider, because if it is true that this is the end of mainstream media, like they just can't work in this environment, they can't compete, they can't do it, what an opportunity we have. What an opportunity we have to really make some fantastic content. Like, think about it for a moment. We have this opportunity before us to really change the game. And I think if you've paid any attention to the Fight Laugh Feast Network and just the sort of quality, like me and my wife watch Cross Politic every night, every Sunday night, we watch their episodes, and just knowing that they're doing that with so little. They're right. The amount of budget that Jimmy Fallon and these talk shows have compared to what I don't have. This is zero budget. The cost of doing this show right here. The cost of doing this show right here is the cost of my internet. And hopefully I get good internet and I can stream with you guys. But most of the time, it's a coin toss as to whether or not that even works. And that's essentially the budget of the show. Of course, I have my cameras and my live stream and my stream deck and all these other things that I've invested in over the years. But that's what it is. Joe says everybody has become YouTubers. Yeah, but not every YouTuber is very good, and I think we're starting to see that. So I'd like to encourage you to really think about investing in good Christian media, good conservative media. Apologia, the stuff that Apologia Studios is making, stuff the Fight Laugh Feast is making. Like, there's really an opportunity here to get ahead. Hey, I got a super chat from my lovely wife, and she says, "Is it even reality? I think reality to never give negative comments on American Idol. Honest feedback is the reality of life. Also, join the Fight Laugh Feast Club. Oh, my wife sent a $5 super chat. Thank you. That's just how we launder money here. She cleans that $5 through YouTube. YouTube takes their cut, and we get that $5 back a little bit later. But anyway, where was I? Super chats, man, they're great. Super chats are fantastic because even if YouTube demonetizes this video, which they most certainly will do, it is absolutely amazing to think that I can still make money despite the fact that they demonetize it. So thank you, honey, for letting me launder that money for you. Really, really appreciate that. And anyway, so what I was saying was, we have a really great opportunity right now. We have a really fantastic opportunity to really change. Not necessarily change, but get a head start more so than we have in terms of creating content. Just think about it for a minute. Think about it. I mean, on one hand, people are thinking that these networks are losing all this money, but people are still watching the same shows. People are still watching American Idol. In fact, give me a minute. Let's actually look and see how many people watched American Idol this week, shall we? And I'll pull it up. American Idol ratings. Let's see. American Idol. I don't want the reviews. It's a. let me show you this. It is. I don't think people are very happy with it at the moment, but it looks like it is a 4.10 on IMDb right now. 4.1. Oh, I guess 4.1 is technically 4.10. 4.1 out of 10 on IMDb. American Idol season 18 ratings canceled. I don't think that's right. Variety from April 13th. Let's see. Ratings, American Idol. Maybe if we just go to news. Ratings with rises with America. Let's see. Oh, no. No. Let's see. ABC first in ratings with a 0.8 out of 4 share in advertising coveted demographic supporting. With an average of 5.1 million users following a rerun Idol from it to near premiered at a 1.05 and 6 million viewers. The rookie had 10 and 5. Okay, so I don't know if 6 million viewers is actually that good. I wonder. You know what I need to do is we need to find out. This is important. This is important fact-checking information right here. So they have 6 million. So this is from April 27th. Let's see if we can go back. Let's see. 1 month. Yeah, 1 month ago. American Idol TV ratings. Oh, American Idol ratings from May, April. It is April, right? Oh, this was from two. Yeah, okay. Let's look at it last year. American Idol, meet your final April 20th. They said, yeah, so this is last year. And then the ratings were. Oh, this is great content, right, guys? 2 hours special. I took a deep dive into stories per ABC. It's 0.9 rating and 5.4. Oh, that actually. Oh, so that. Okay, so yeah, so I was right. So more people are watching Idol because of the low performance qualities. The low production quality. So that's actually a really interesting thing. So this was a year ago, about 5.4, and that was a dive, actually. Is that what they said? That was a dive? Let's just do one more check. Let's see. This is May 20th, Idol finale. Okay, so the Idol finale had 7 million. Huh. Last year. So they're only like a million or two off. I mean, you think about that. There's YouTube viewers. Like Dude Perfect posted a video today. I think. I'm pretty sure he did. It was on trending. Let's see if it's still here. Dude Perfect. I mean, just this, Mr. Beast has a video right here. It's 19 million views from 2 days ago. In 2 days, he got 19 million views. I know that Dude Perfect. Well, we'll just type in Dude Perfect. Dude Perfect. Quarantine stereotype. 7 million views here. Oh, don't play it because you'll get demonetized. But this is like a video they made from home. So this is a video. Like everything is like, I don't want to play it. Well, maybe I can mute it and we'll be fine. But like everything is from home. It's definitely done with like cell phone cameras and stuff like that. But even this has more views than the American Idol show. Like think about that for a minute. You have a guy, I mean, Dude Perfect is not a, I mean, they're not a small channel, by the way. The guys are actually Christians, if you didn't know that. I actually saw in one video, they had some, I think, pretty reformed books on one of their bookshelves. I remember seeing a long time ago. So they're actually really great. I would love to hang out with them and just talk about production and YouTube and all that other stuff. I think that'd be a dream come true. They're not gonna call me, but it's just, you know, I'm dreaming. But so they have 50 million subscribers, and they got 7 million views on a video that it's number one on trending. I must have missed it, but anyway, this was uploaded, when was the date of this? I don't know. But anyway, 7 million views, the 27th, what day is today? The 20th. Okay, so that was uploaded yesterday. 7 million views, beating American Idol at 6 million views. And it's a bunch of... So the thing is, Dude Perfect, all these YouTube channels, they know how to make content. They know how to make content like this, and they're doing pretty good at it. And and so all that to say... is it makes for a great opportunity. I want to see if this button works. I just pressed it. Oh, it did work. Okay, so I want to open up the Discord lines. All right, so that's the Discord line. Feel free to join the Discord if you guys can. I would love to have, maybe you can talk about this. Maybe you have some thoughts. Maybe you have some input. All that to say is that we have a great opportunity here. It doesn't require expensive budgets. It doesn't require a lot of money. All it requires is really just hiring talented people, and just the labor and time that it takes to create content. I mean, you're talking about Apologia has like a really tiny staff. Fight Laugh Feast, I know, like they're like working like part-time gigs, just trying to make ends meet to build what they have. And yet look what they're doing. Imagine for a moment if, say, Fight Laugh Feast had 4 or 5 full-time people that could really focus on just making quality Christian content. Same thing with same thing with Apologia Studios. Just the amount of subscribers that they get determines on their labor force, right? And the more labor force, the more quality content. It's just a basic business 101. So that's what I'm saying. Like, we have a real opportunity right now. People are asking, like, what's the bet? Like, how do we fix YouTube's problem, like demonetization of YouTube? How do we fix this? And I want to suggest to you that if you're really, really mad at everything big tech is doing, YouTube suppressing everything, Amazon suppressing everything, all these people suppressing everything, invest in the content creators that you like. And I'm sure you're going to say, yeah, but people are suppressing their content too, right? People are suppressing YouTube content on Fight Laugh Feast. Apologia's content is getting suppressed. How is investing in them as creators going to help if YouTube is shutting everything down? And I'd like to suggest to you that the way it helps them is because the more income that they have, the more they can invest in their own servers, the more they can invest in alternative solutions. So hiring, I already said, if I ever get to build another studio of my own, I'm going to have my all-in-one video production guy that can do everything. and then I'm going to have my programmer and coder. Because I think if you combine those two together, I think you're pretty much unstoppable at this point. Especially coders and programmers who want to fight and know how to use the APIs that are given from big tech and stuff like that. I think there's a lot you could do. But again, programmers ain't cheap. You know, when you learn to code, you make some money. And I am not a coder. I've tried. I can do basic PHP and HTML, WordPress and CSS. And I can get around if I need to. But I have tried to program. I have tried to code. My mind just does not think in those terms. There is nothing more meaningless to me than watching tutorial videos on how to code. I have tried over and over again. And that's just not my expertise. But what I'm saying is, like, these are the things that can happen when we invest in the content creators. That's the best way to beat YouTube. Even if it means that the content creators you love have to use YouTube for the time being. That's just what it takes. So, if there's anybody in the chat that would like to talk, I know we're early today. I like to stream later, but look, if you think about it, it's 5 o'clock on the West Coast. It's 8 o'clock already on the East Coast, and it's a work night, right? So I have to stream earlier, and I've noticed that most of my audience, I think, comes from around the East Coast area. So I'm trying to fit a time in with them, but then I lose, of course, the people that are still at work, like even my wife, still at work. So if there's anybody there and you want to talk, I see that Reform Yinzer's joined the Discord. If you want to talk, I will bring you in.
Hello.
Hello. Are you there?
Hey.
There you are. What's up, man?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know how. Oh, I guess you're in the voice. Oh, you're in the voice chat. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I'm not a tech guy, man. I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay. What'd you want to talk about?
I was thinking, like, recently about starting a YouTube type of shows with two of my buddies. But we don't have a mic. We do have a camera. But I just want to get it out there. I mean, we're Reform guys. And we're Yinzers, which means it's slang talk for Pittsburgh, because I don't think Pittsburgh is represented in the Reform community a lot.
You're talking about the city, right?
Yeah, yeah. And PA.
Yeah. So you just said you didn't have microphones. So what do you have?
So we got a camera. I was going to use the iPhone until you started.
Oh, no. Let me be clear. I don't think it's a problem to use an iPhone. I think you can make a lot of great content with iPhone. That's not a problem at all. I was just simply referring to the fact that these major broadcasting networks like American Idol were using iPhones to produce their show when they don't have to. They were just doing it. Essentially, I believe just a virtue signal, and to be like, look how lowly, yeah. But you can make, like I said, like I just showed Dude Perfect just made a video, and it's got 7 million views. They dropped yesterday, which is more views than American Idol got. So I think I don't have a problem using an iPhone at all, and I think you should. I think you should use what you have. There's a lot of really really popular YouTubers who make a lot of money. And they pretty much still only use an iPhone. So I would do that. I would try at the very least to get some audio microphones. You can get them for like $199 bucks. A Rode Rode Wireless Go mics are like $199. And the only reason for that is just because you can have really terrible video and people still watch. But if your audio isn't good, people just don't watch it. So I try to at least, at the very minimum, have some sort of decent microphone. But But again, cool. I've seen great videos that don't even have that. And I, from what I can tell, the iPhone microphone's pretty good anyway. So.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. And, I appreciate everything you guys are doing. You know, babies are murdered here. Apologia, cross-politic, man. You guys have been bringing sanity in the insane world, man.
Somebody's got to.
Goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, like, yeah, man.
Well, yeah, well, thanks for calling in, dude. Really, really appreciate it. And just make content, man. Just make whatever you want, upload it, and eventually people will find it.
Cool. I appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Appreciate you, too. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. See, that was fun. Hello, little call about video production and technology. That's pretty great. Really appreciated that. That was a lot of fun. So again, if you're in the channel, you can call in. However he did it. I don't know Discord well enough. I need to get better at Discord because I guess there's a voice chat too that he was able to. Which, if that's better, then I would just use that instead of like my system I have now. But maybe somebody who's really knowledgeable of the ins and outs of Discord can come in my channel and show me how to set it up right. That'd be really great. But again, let's see. Somebody says, "How do I call in?" And you call in by hitting going to this link. If you're still watching, you can call in that way. And you can join the Discord that way, and you can become a part of the show. Become a part of the show. There was something. Oh, there was something. Somebody sent me. Let me find it while we're just waiting for people to call in. If you want to call in or not, you don't have to call in. But we really like it when you do. It's really great. Okay. Anyway. Anyway, let's see. Let's go to the desktop. Go here. Here we go. So as you guys can see, this is from the Oakland Oshkosh Police in Wisconsin. I've actually been to Oshkosh when I was a kid. My grandpa took me to the Oshkosh Air Show, which is like one of the biggest air shows in the country. And we actually road tripped all the way there and all the way back. I don't remember much. I do remember that we camped most of the time. But that's pretty much all I remember of it. But anyway, so here's the Oshkosh Police Department, April 27th, 2020. On Friday, April 24th, we received a call from the Winnebago County Health Department advising that the Dog Depot, located at 1225 South Main Street in the city of Oshkosh, was open and they were in violation of the governor's order related to the COVID-19 health crisis. They were deemed a non-essential business and they needed to close immediately. A sergeant from the Oshkosh Police Department went to business location and spoke to the owner and advised her that the county health department determined that the business is non-essential and that it is needed to be closed, that needed to be closed immediately. The owner was warned. Look at this. Capital letters. warned with capital letters. The owner was warned several times and explained she needed to close. The owner said that she disagrees with Winnebago County Health Department and that she would not comply with the governor's orders and that she would not close her store. The Oshkosh Police Department consulted the Winnebago County District Attorney's Office and they agreed that the business owner was violating the governor's orders. Due to her disregard and a multiple warning she received, the sergeant advised the business owners that he was going to refer her to the district attorney's office for the charge of violating the governor's orders. Now, just so you guys know, just so you guys know, the executive branch does not make law. An order from the executive branch is not a law. There is no law that this person violated. Now, a lot of you guys are saying that's crazy, but I just want to be honest with you. I learned this in like sixth grade, I learned there were three branches of government and they had checks and balances and you had the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. I almost slipped my mind, but I got it. The judicial branch. so you have all the three of these branches. The legislative branch, it starts with an L, is the one that makes law. And then the judicial branch determines if that law is constitutional. And the executive branch is really mainly supposed to focus on the military, but we've turned them into kings when they're not really supposed to have that much power and authority. But anyway, so here you have an executive order that essentially says that this person's business, which, by the way, is, what's it called? The Dog Depot. Anyway, so you have this here, right here. For the health and safety of our community, the governor has issued orders to help protect our city and citizens. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services, along with blah, 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 deferring businesses. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? It's right. It's right. Okay, so due to her disregard and the multiple warnings she received, the sergeant advised the business owner that he was going to refer her to the district attorney's office for the charge of violating the governor's order that each day that her business continued to stay open would result in another charge. Look, I mean, that's just out of control. Now, I have to take a moment. And I have to talk to my Christian police officers, especially those located at the Oshkosh Police Department. Why are you enforcing this? What motivates you? When I say Christian, there has to be, I would assume, one or two reformed police officers in the Oshkosh Police Department, I would hope, at least. If not reformed, okay, not even reformed. Evangelical police officers. Are you going to stand your ground? Are you guys going to stand your ground? Are you guys going to put a stop to the tyranny by your brothers in blue? Like, I have to ask that. Because I remember when I worked in retail, I worked at Radio Shack for years. And I remember that if we knew that somebody was stealing and we didn't tell management about it, we could be fired too. If I knew those sort of things, and I didn't say anything, I could be fired for not saying it. I mean, we had to take tests in order to get hired at Radio Shack that was like, you noticed somebody stealing $10 out of the cash register. Do you tell the manager yes or no? And it's like, well, yeah, of course you do, right? So here you have a situation where the police officers are clearly enforcing laws that really should not be enforced. They're unconstitutional. They're denying a family, a woman, of her ability to provide for herself, to feed herself, to buy a house, to pay her rent, pay her bills. The police department is denying all of that stuff. And you have to ask, are there any police officers on the Oshkosh Police Department that would be like, you know what, we're not going to do this? And anyway, so if you're in Wisconsin, be sure to support the Dog Depot for defying the federal government. I'm actually shocked that people haven't Facebook bombed her page and just like liked it, and she should have like 10,000 likes by now. So make sure you like the Dog Depot if you're there. It's kind of hard to find her page on Facebook, but anyway, back to the police officers. I mean, just imagine. I mean, like, where are the ones that'll just say no? We're not going to support this. We're going to defy the governor. We're going to protect the people, uphold the Constitution. It seems to me, and I would be more than happy to be proven wrong on this, but it seems to me that when a police officer takes an oath and they say that we're not going to violate the Constitution of the United States when they're sworn in and they receive their badge, that they quickly toss it aside to support the thin blue line. And it seems to me that it's such a tight-knit fraternity that it's impossible to go against it. And I know a lot of you guys say, well, yeah, well, they'll lose your job or you'll lose your job or whatever. Sometimes that's what you got to do, man. Like, I mean, you're talking about, well, either I lose my job, but because it's not like in a vacuum. If you don't say anything, if you're a police officer, you don't say anything, innocent people are going to go to jail. Innocent people are going to be fined and hurt and put out of business. So it seems to me that as a Christian police officer, loving your neighbor requires, in a position of justice, loving your neighbor means upholding justice and not the thin blue line. And so anyway, that's just kind of what I see when I see a story like that. It just amazes me that it gets that far. Because you would think that there might be phone calls or whatever. There's these phone calls of so-and-so and they're open for business. And you would think that there'd be someone at the police department or taking the phone call that just goes, next call, please. Like, why doesn't anybody say this is a waste of our time and this is a waste of our resources? But it doesn't matter. What I've seen is that essentially police officers, Christian or not, enforce any law they're told to, whether or not the law is just, whether or not the law is constitutional. Even if another officer is making up a law, those police officers continue to enforce it. And at some point, you just got to say no. At some point, I look forward to the day. I really do pray that this... Because I think this could change multiple police police departments across the country. It would be nice to see... A corrupt police officer arresting someone falsely for some made up law, whether even if it's like, you know, a person using an amplifier when they're doing evangelism or something like that. It would be nice to see a police officer who's called in for backup get there, acknowledge the situation, and realize that their brother in blue is crossed over the line, and then place their brother in blue under house arrest, citizen's arrest. That's what I want to see. I want to see police officers pointing a gun at corrupt police officers and stopping them. Like, I just think, I just feel like that should be number, like that should be expect, like that should just happen. Like, why does it not happen? I don't know, maybe you're a police officer, you can send me a private message, let me know why it's not happened, because the only reason I would think that it wouldn't happen is because of cowardice. And as I've said before, cowardice is a sin, and cowards go to hell. So it's not a good excuse to say, oh yeah, well, I have a job, I have family, I have all these things, I have to support my wife, whatever. I understand that, and I understand the pressure that goes with that. But what I don't understand is why nobody can speak up. There's no police officer willing to lose their job anywhere in the United States right now. There's none. There's no police officer that is putting a stop to it. Now, I have heard that there's police departments that have in unison said, we're just not going to respond to the Karens. And that's great. That's fantastic. But what I'm talking about is an actual singled out police officer in a department that goes against the corruption of his entire police department. Now, I know there's a lot of fear to that because. You know, police officers plant drugs, and I mean, they plant drugs. They've planted evidence. I've seen the YouTube videos. I know you're going to say it probably doesn't happen that much, or that's very rare. It happens all the time. There's tons and tons of videos of that happening. And there's, you know, making a murderer, and there's all these sort of things. And I believe a lot of that is legitimate. Like, that's a legitimate fear. But honestly, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you work for an organization where doing the right thing could mean that you could be framed for murder or be framed for all sorts of other crimes, you don't need to be working for that organization. The chances of, I mean, sure, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, yeah, people are trying to change it from the inside. I mean, a lot of people are going to, there's something like that. There's a lot of corruption. A lot of people are going to be victims of injustice while we're trying to change the system. I mean, that'd be just very, very, very strange to me. That should happen. I think it would be better for police officers all over the country, if you want to change the system, to absolutely, very publicly and boldly stop the corruption in your police department, like what's happening here in Oshkosh. So that's my thoughts on everything. That's my thought. Somebody says the OPC has a church in Oshkosh. And one of their founding fathers, their founding elders, was a police officer. It's Resurrection Presbyterian. Well, I don't want to out the guy, but my question is, like, is he? What's he doing? Well, I guess he was a police officer. He's not anymore. I'd like to know more about that. I'm assuming it says he was a police officer, so he's not anymore. Well, I'd be interested. I'm telling you, I'd be interested. I'd even be willing to have a conversation with a police officer on this issue. A Christian police officer. Maybe you guys know somebody. Maybe you guys can get in touch with somebody. Maybe you have a friend. I would be willing. They can call the Discord. I'd keep their name anonymous. All that. I'd be willing to do that. City, state, whatever. I'd keep that anonymous. But I'd like to have a discussion on this very issue, because I think this is important, because we're seeing all over, police are just nothing more than tax collectors at this point. And they're just doing what they're told. And that's a dangerous... If you're a police officer that just does what he's told, you don't need to be a police officer. Because we need... Yeah, okay, the office, the elder in Oshkosh is retired, but if you're a police officer that's just doing what they're told, you don't need to be doing that. We absolutely 100% need officers that are going to stand up against tyranny, or else, look, I'm telling you, if you're a police officer and you're not there for justice, why are you a police officer? I mean, think about that for a minute. I mean, because I don't think that's a radical question. I'm a content creator because I like making content. I like making YouTube videos. I like making mini documentaries. I like filming. I like telling stories. I like to do that. I like to make media and videos that makes people angry and causes people to fight righteously. Like, that's what I like to do. But if I'm a police officer, I should care about justice. I should care about the law. And if I'm not standing up for that, why not just be a private security guard? Why not just start your own company training people to protect themselves? Like, there's a lot you can do in that field that's not necessarily... that won't necessarily require you to give people speeding tickets. Like, there's a lot you can do in terms of security that won't require you to be a glorified tax collector. So that's just my thought. I mean, you have police who are actively, and they're so braggadocious about it. They're so pompous about it. Oh, look, we shut down the Dog Depot with 200 Facebook likes and 14 reviews on their Facebook page because they were open during this coronavirus shutdown and we deemed that they're not essential. Look how awesome we are. Look how polished my badge is. Get out of here. Who joins the police force to do that to people? Who does that? Somebody said they're not police, they're law enforcement. Yeah, that's right. They're law enforcement. But in order to be law enforcement, they have to enforce the law. And as I said, executive orders, they don't make law. Executive orders aren't laws. And there's no such thing as a law that is unconstitutional. It doesn't exist. But yet, those laws are enforced all the time. And we never see a police officer rebuking another police officer and telling him to stop. We just don't ever see it. So, that's my thoughts. If you guys know a police officer, a Christian police officer, somebody that would like to maybe have this discussion with me, I'd be interested in having that discussion, specifically with somebody who's active now, not someone who's retired, someone who's active now. I think that'd be a really fascinating conversation to have, especially if it's possible, maybe a theonomous police officer that's active right now. I would love to have a conversation with a theonomous police officer, because I personally, knowing what I know about what God requires the law to be and the laws that I would have to enforce, I could never do it. It would violate my conscience to give a DUI. That would bother me. Although I could see why you would give a DUI. But if you want to have the conversation of whether DUIs are appropriate biblical justice or not, that'd be interesting to have. I would argue that it's not. But that'd be a fun conversation to have. So that would indeed be a fun discussion. I would like to have that. So anyway, if there's no one else in the chat, in the Discord anyway, which I don't see that there is, I think we'll end it there. I think that sounds good. And so, yeah, let's do that. Let's end it here. Before I go, thank you guys for everybody that's tuned in, everybody that's joined, that's in the stream right now. Really appreciate it. Thank you to my lovely wife for the $5 super chat. Really, really appreciate it. Really, really great. Really, really great to see. And again, by the way, as we were talking earlier today about creating custom content, creating good stuff like that, just continue to support the content creators that you like, whether they have just a Patreon account or whether they have a network like Fight Laugh Feast or Apologia Studios. Join the Fight Laugh Feast Club. Join it. Become a member, because I'm telling you, now's the time that they can really get a head start when no one's watching TV, when nobody's making great, they're not multi-million dollar productions anymore. Like now, like we really have a good opportunity to step up the game because people want well-produced stuff. So if you have it in you, I know in COVID-19, a lot of people have lost jobs or uncertain about the economy or whatever. But if you happen to be able to, please consider supporting these organizations. It would be, that is a spam caller. Not during my live stream. Not ever. So again, thank you guys so much for joining. my earpiece keeps falling out. Thank you guys so much for being part of the show. Thank you for subscribing. If you're watching on Facebook, please let me encourage you. It means a lot if you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/CrownRightsMedia. If you join that channel, and subscribe and hit the bell and get alerted to when I go live. That really helps out a lot. Trying to push everybody from Facebook just to go to that channel. I really do appreciate it. And again, thank you guys so much for being a part of the show. You guys have a great and amazing day. And until I see you guys again, have an amazing lockdown and quarantine. Just enjoy your time locked in your house like a prisoner, unable to even go outside, take a breath without being arrested. Enjoy this amazing free country that will throw you in prison for coughing on an individual who will fine you every single day for cutting the hair of a dog. Just enjoy your liberties, your freedom, and I'm sorry. I know I said I was gonna look. Here's the thing. I'm so sick of this. Let me just have a heart to heart with you guys before I log off. In fact, if you haven't shared this, now might be a good time because I might go a little crazy. I am so sick of this. This is absolutely the worst thing our nation has ever done. And I know a lot of people say, what about slavery? This is slavery. It really is. It really is a terrible... Okay, it's not... Okay, maybe it's not the worst. It's up there. In terms of the corruption of the government, this is out of control. It's out of control. And I'm sick of it. And I'm sick of seeing all these Karens on Twitter who are whining and complaining because some governor decided, hey, we need to start the process of opening up, and everyone's whining. I have this lady on Twitter who always complains every time I say we need to open up because she's immunocompromised and the whole world needs to submit to her medical requirements. It's the most selfish thing I've ever seen. You're going to tell me that people need to be without food? People need to be without work? People need to be locked in their homes under threat of arrest? Just for you? It's absolutely selfish. It's absolutely disgusting and revolting what has happened here. And if this goes on, if this goes on to the 4th of July and there's no fireworks in this nation, if something doesn't cause the people to revolt nonviolently, I'm not saying violence, I'm not, but if something doesn't cause the people of this nation to gather and to demand that this is ended. And I'm not talking about starting the process of negotiating with the President of the United States as a governor so that you can squeeze out as much federal money as you possibly can so we can get our liberties back. I'm not talking about holding our freedoms hostage and begin the process of determining what it's going to take as far as money for the governor to open up the state. I'm not talking about that. I am saying if we do not open up this nation immediately and without any sort of asterisk, if we do not do that, people are going to revolt violently. Like, it's just what's going to happen. When there's videos of farmers and they're talking about how they have to kill all these animals because there's just not enough people buying food and eating out anymore. Because people aren't eating hamburgers They're buying ramen noodles because they're without a job. What? What is it going to take? Like, what? I was listening to this podcast. I don't remember the name of the podcast. Maybe I can find it. Let me see. It's a podcast about the American Revolution, and it was like it was dramatized. So it was pretty cool. Those are my favorite kind of podcasts, where they're just like dramatized stories, like Adventures in Odyssey, those sort of things. And the podcast, oh, I didn't actually subscribe to it. I just listened to it. But it's like American History Storytellers, I think is what it was called, or something along those lines, by Wondery. Wondery was the one. That's one of my favorite podcast creators. And I was just listening to them talk about like the problems that the colonies had during the time of the American Revolution. And we're way past that. We're way past that. In fact, as I was listening to it, I thought the only thing that's separating what's happening now in the American colonies, the only thing that's separating is a shot heard around the world. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that we need to shoot somebody. We don't. But as you remember, the reason it was called the shot heard around the world is because nobody wanted to be the first to shoot. And supposedly nobody knows who shot first. But you can probably guess. And the American Revolution started. But then I was thinking, but if, let's say, next week or tomorrow or sometime this week, there was a coronavirus protest. Oh man, I just said it. I thought this whole stream I was going to be able to get monetized. But anyway, let's say there was this protest for the beer bug. And a police officer wound up shooting someone who was protesting. I don't think that would do anything. If there was a shot heard around the world in America today, I think the result of that would just be people shocked. It'd be a news headline. But after about 24 hours, everybody would go on to their normal day. And then, of course, a lot of conservatives would try to find a way to justify the police officer. There'd be narratives of, oh, that guy was drunk, or that guy was high, or he was assaulting the police, or he reached in his pocket and grabbed something that could have been a cell phone but looked like a gun. There'd be all sorts of cover-ups. It would last maybe a day, and that would just be the end of it. But now, I just don't think that would happen. I just don't think that would happen. We're too loyal to the state. See, that's the difference. The colonists believed that their government was corrupt. And we believe that our government has a few bad apples. And I think that's the difference. And until we realize that our government is corrupt, we're going to go to bed at night and we're going to wake up and we're going to complain about a Facebook article. An article we saw on Facebook. We're going to complain about something. And that's going to be the end of it. That's just what it's going to be. We're just going to forget. And, again, just to be clear, I'm not saying we need to do violence. Not at all. I don't think it's just. I don't think it's righteous. I don't think it's good or holy to start a war. I don't think we want a war. I don't even think that's what I'm asking. I'm just simply asking for people to be mad enough and not stop being mad. I don't think that's... Is that too much to ask? Is it too much to ask that when we see a lady get arrested in front of her kids at a park, that we get mad and we stay mad. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. Is it too much to ask that when a pet groomer is being fined by the government every single day she's open, that we get mad and we stay mad? I'm telling you, I didn't stream last week. I didn't stream last week. And the reason is because I didn't want to talk about this stuff anymore. I was just sick of it. And I notice my stream looks like it's gone. Is that true? Let me see. Yeah, it looks like my... Maybe it's back. Let's just say it's back. How about that? Can we say it's back? I don't know. Anyway, it's recording and I'll put it up. But all I ask is that's all I ask. I don't think it's too much to ask. Is that we just get mad and we stay mad. And that's all I want. I want us to be mad and stay mad. Shout out to David Farrell for the $5 super chat. Thank you so much. He says, keep fighting. Thank you for the super chat. Really appreciate it, David. Good friend of mine back in Virginia. Thanks so much, man. I really think glad you're watching. But anyway, so what I was saying was, I didn't want to stream last week. And I realized the reason I didn't want to stream last week is because as I was sent articles about police arresting people and this beer bug and like all these sort of things that were happening, I realized within me that I wasn't mad about these things. And so nothing, like there was no, I didn't have anything just like really riled me up. I didn't have anything that disturbed me or bothered me or upset. Like, and then I thought about it and I was like, I should be mad. But the problem is that I'm getting so many stories of all these things that are happening, all these different people and governors doing stupid stuff and police departments just acting insane. And I just got sort of desensitized to it. And that didn't make me mad. That scared me. What is happening now? What is happening now is desensitizing me to government control in a way that I don't want to be desensitized to. I don't want to get used to this lockdown. I don't want to get used to restaurants only being drive-thrus forever. I don't want to get used to having to stand outside to buy something, especially in Arizona, especially here. But I am like Israel was fickle. Israel got tired of, they got tired of being in the desert, and they said, you know what? It was better in Egypt. We got whipped. We got gashes in our backs from the whips. But man, they fed us. They fed us. And now I see that in myself. I see that. And it's only been, what was it? Maybe like March 8th. So it's almost been maybe almost 2 months now. This has happened almost 2 months. And initially it was just, oh, this article's making me mad. Oh, this can't really be happening. Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah, that's how, yeah, okay. There, yeah, well, there it goes. Okay, yeah, well, this is just how it is. And like I need to repent, honestly. I think we all need to repent, really. Just for not being angry all the time. I know that's weird, right? Like, that's weird for Christians to have to repent for not being angry. But if we look at who God is angry at the wicked every day. Jesus was angered and uprooted the entire temple. Anger is godly. And so I'd like to suggest to you that when we see this sort of injustice happening, when we see this sort of corruption taking place over and over and over again, and we get desensitized to it, and we start to just accept it, I don't think we're being like Christ. I don't think we're being like Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't stop being angry because he's bored. Jesus sees injustice and it infuriates him just the same the next time he sees injustice. There's no level of anger at sin based on the day like we do. When God is angry at the wicked every day, he's the same level of angry at the wicked every day. And when we see this stuff happening to our neighbors, this sort of injustice, this sort of fining people for having their business open, the governors negotiating our liberties for federal dollars with the president, and the president just embracing this stuff too, he is not guilty in this. He is just as much responsible as everybody else. And when our anger on this day is not the same as our anger on the next day, we're not being Christ-like. So again, look, I'm not asking for violence. I'm not at all. I'm not asking for any sort of thing like that. I'm just asking for us to be angry. And let's do something about this. Not violence, but be angry as a church as a whole. That just at the very least, can we just be angry enough as a church to say we're going to start to meet and worship no matter what, and we don't care what the governor says? Can we just do that? Can we just say as a church that we're going to look at our individual situation as elders, and if we have a high elderly rate, we're going to figure out a way that they can worship, but in general, we are going to meet, even if it means the police shut us down? Can we be that angry consistently, at least to that point? Because I feel like at least at that point, it's good, right? Like, I don't even need these. like at least to that point. But because when I look at myself and I see that I'm not angry at the wicked every day, I see another news article and I'm just like, oh, dog owner arrested for opening their business. Yeah, seen it. Seen it in other states. Like it really makes me wonder. And it concerns me. So that's all I'm asking. All I'm asking is God is angry at the wicked every day. When we see the government shutting everything down, suppressing our freedoms, suppressing our liberties, can we be angry every day? That's all I know a lot of you guys are desensitized to it. You've already determined that, you know, a lot of people work from home now, and so that's just the new normal. And first off, if you've got a job and they've let you work from home, I would actually fight for that to be the new normal, because I think that is the best way to raise a family is when the father works from home. I think it's fantastic. There's a book on it. I forget the name of it, but anyway, so like there is good that's come from this. I'm not saying there's not good that's come from this, but we also know that the Bible says that what man intends for evil, God uses for good. So what is used for evil, God uses for good. So homeschooling is a big plus from this. The fact that people are learning how to completely run their businesses from the comfort of their own home is great and fantastic. All those things are really great and fantastic. And so I'm just asking, when we see some sort of injustice regarding this lockdown, I all I ask is that we just stay angry. That's all. Just stay angry. And I think I'll continue signing off with that. So until I see you again, stay angry.